some messages we were going to share with you earlier. Obviously, with the president passing away, we wanted to rearrange the schedule and to be appropriate to preach about certain things. But I want to talk to you about issues of leadership, leadership in general, but also in our church and in the local church, and what that looks like in God's plan, and how we can work together for what God has for our church and for our nation. I'm confronted almost every day with a statement that I believe is so true, and some people attribute it to John Maxwell, who does a lot of writing on leadership, and that is that everything rises and falls on leadership. And so when you see some awesome things happening on planet Earth somewhere, there will be leadership that helped make that happen. When you see bad stuff happening, you can trace it back to bad leadership, or maybe good leadership in the wrong way. Everything rises and falls on leadership. It's what drives success, it's what drives failure. And God is the one who instituted this. He's the one who invented it for the institutions that he raised up, and three of the main institutions that he raised up in the world, the first being the family, and we see him instituting governments, but also we see that he instituted the local church, and that bodies of believers come together and to work together and assemble themselves together and do his mission, but he also then delegates leadership in the local church. Obviously, there'll be a lot of talk in the next number of days it'll be, 80, 75 days before the elections, about leadership. And I want to bring it home kind of into the kingdom of God and into the life and the church of God. I think most of you are aware that the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, we lost an incredible leader that went to be heaven, Miles Monroe and his dear wife, who was here on this stage and gave a great, great word and was here in Zambia for a few days. And so his influence is gone. And all of us will only live a certain number of days, and so we need to purpose to follow God, to listen to God. And the purpose of leadership, when we really understand the Bible, is to have God's heart and God's mission accomplished on planet Earth. And that needs to happen at schools, in businesses, in hospitals, in governments, in families, in churches. And many, many times, unfortunately, people, we view leadership through the eyes of what's in it for me. And I get to have a better parking space or a bigger paycheck. I think I told you about the person that about 8 years ago that I interviewed, and I said, well, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? What would you like? What's the vision for your life? She said, I'd like to be a manager. I said, well, where? She says, I don't know. I just like to be a manager. I said, well, for what reason? It would be nice. It would be nice. Well, those of you who are managers, who are leaders, realize that she had a very, very small view. How many of you managers realize it's not all nice? In fact, it's a lot of other stuff. It's a lot of pain. And so God wants there to be his version of leadership in so many institutions on planet Earth and in our city and in our nation to accomplish what he wants to take place in all of those places. And I have been so proud of so many Miracle Life people in the last 2 weeks, and I would rather leave most of them unsaid, but people who are members at this church that I don't think you realize the impact that they had in the last 2 or 3 weeks of the events that took place in our nation and how God had them in different institutions in different places that stood for character and integrity, who did the right thing at the right time. And I believe that so many people have been raised up for such a time as this. And it's interesting and it's awesome to see how Christians truly can be salt and can be light, and they don't have to be swayed with a current or a breeze that's going one way, but they can stand up for Jesus and do what he is asking us to do. And part of our mission is changing the world. And so many Miracle Life folks are doing that. Now, changing the world can only happen when the first two parts of our mission statement happen, and that is sharing Christ and maturing believers. And so that mission that God wants accomplished through the life of this church, it simply has to happen. And I want you to look at Exodus chapter 3. For me, this is the most clear illustration in the Bible of how God orchestrates his heart to come to pass on planet Earth. And, you know, during times like this, people make statements like, well, we just put these things in the Lord's hands. God's in control. And I find both of those statements very unbiblical, extremely unbiblical, because God partners with mankind for his purposes to be accomplished on planet Earth. Why did Jesus come as a man? Because he had to. Only men and women are authorized to operate on planet Earth. We partner with God. And Exodus chapter 3, we see that, thank God, God initiates his plan. God does have a destination. And God does plan and purpose. But we must then yield to that plan and purpose for it to come to pass. And so truly, as God operates on the earth, it is a family business, Father and Sons and Daughters Incorporated. He is the Father, he is the owner, but we are his partners here on the earth. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, God is speaking through a burning bush to a man that he has chosen and that he's got his eye on and that he realizes, I believe this man can work with me to change some things that I need reversed. And he finds a man named Moses, who was a murderer, who was a shepherd, who was hiding for 40 years, but God realizes it's his time. And so he speaks to him in a supernatural way through a burning bush. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I love it that our God sees and knows and hears. There's a lot of stuff that touches our hearts. But how many of you know that you and I have a very limited exposure about what's happening on planet Earth right now among 7 billion people? And yet God Almighty hears every cry. He sees every tear. And he has a plan to change that. So what does he say in verse 8? So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good land. God is in the relocation business. From that place of sin and bondage, oppression, a place you're not supposed to be, I've got a plan to take you to a good and a large land. I think God is the one who instituted the idea, live in large. That was his plan for his children. To a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppress them. Now as God is speaking, if you put yourself in Moses' shoes, sorry, he didn't have any shoes, right? He took them off on holy ground. If you put himself in his situation, you realize, sorry, just too good to resist there. So up until this point, you're thinking, God, this sounds awesome. You know, God, because I've been thinking the same thing you've been thinking. I realize that our people are suffering. That's why I killed somebody 40 years ago, because I was mad about it. And he says, and so here's God's promise, and here's God's what he's going to say. I have come down to deliver them and to move them from that land to this land. And if I'm Moses, I'm thinking, amen, fantastic. God, you go for it, man. I'm going to hurry up, get with my people, and we're going to do the Star Trek, you know, beam me up, zoop, beam me down, zoop. And you just wipe out all those people, all those ites, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. You've got that kind of power. You just grease them, God, and we'll just be hanging out with you. So God says, I have come down to deliver them. Question is, and here's the scary part is, how is he going to deliver them? And this is what he clarifies in verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. Oh, that Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world with the biggest army. Ah, that one. Who does not want our people to go? In fact, he hates our people. I'll send you to Pharaoh that you... Who's God talking to? He's talking to a man. He's talking to a leader. That you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Whoa, 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 wait a second, God. Hey, God, I'm just putting this in your hands. God, we're just putting this problem in your hands, God, because, hey, you're in control. No way. God is saying, hey, Moses, listen, I've got this plan. I'm going to do signs and wonders. Man, you won't believe what I'm going to do. When you get to the Red Sea, you're going to walk on dry ground. There's going to be water, manna, quail. I'll go before you. There's so much stuff that I'm going to do. But here's the thing. You're doing it with me. You're doing it with me. You're going to Pharaoh. You're going to speak to him. You are going to lead the children of Israel. You're going to go across the Red Sea. Oh God, I'd rather just you do it. Just give us a good old Pentecostal Zapola. No, no. I'm going to partner with you, Moses. I'm going to be with you, Moses. I'm going to do the heavy lifting, Moses. But I need you on the earth as my man, as my woman, at ZRA, at the Ministry of Education, in your family, at that church. I need you for my plan to come to pass. That's what leadership is. That's what working with God is. God sees, we see him. We realize that he has a mandate. Now what happens is when this leader accepts the mandate, as Moses did, the first thing he says is, I can't do it. I'm not a good speaker. Aren't you glad that Moses was a humble man? He didn't say, oh man, this is awesome. I have always wanted to be a manager. God, what title do I get? This is going to be fantastic. No, he is reluctant. And I believe there's a biblical case that God loves and can work with reluctant leaders as long as he can get them out of bed and get them going. And so Moses says, I can't do this. Well, why don't you send your, you can go with your brother. God, what am I going to do? How can I, what's in your hand, Moses? A rod. I'll use that. And over again, when Moses gets into trouble, he turns to God and God has an answer. And the answer that God brings to Moses over and over again is people. When Moses can't get the job done, when Moses is overworked in Exodus 18, Jethro, his father-in-law, isn't that the best way to get advice is from your father-in-law? Fantastic. The thing that you're doing is not good. Isn't that great when your father-in-law tells you that? I just love it. It warms my heart inside. I know. No, what he was doing was not good because he was doing it alone. Numbers 11, he wants to die. Why? Because he's doing it alone. And so the answer was, hey, you need awesome people. You need people who will be with you. Hey, go take 70 guys, go to the sanctuary. And the same spirit on you, I'll put that spirit on them. And then they'll be managers too. No, they'll bear the burden with you. Not for you, but with you. And at Miracle Life, as we look back, I see our journey so very similar along the lines of what God did with Moses. And that is that God has a place for us to go to. And the destination of New Testament Christianity is to be like Jesus. The Bible says that God, He knows us as His sons and daughters. And those that He knows, He has predestined to what? To be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus. That destination was predetermined by God. Does everybody get there? Whoa, time out. Does every Christian who dies die looking like Jesus? No, are you kidding me? You need to go to the funerals I go to. Huh? Not Miracle Life people, but some people, you mean you're just scratching your head for what to say about how awesome they were, you know? We just say, well, the secret things belong to the Lord. And they had a dog and they had a two pair of shoes. And that's about all we can say at their funeral. So just because God wants you to get to the destination, He has predetermined that destination, does not mean you're going to get there. We need leadership. We need yielded vessels. We need people that are going to say, Jesus, have your way in my life. I lay down this and I pick this up. I turn away from these weird ideas and I embrace you and your word and your ways. And we do that year after year after year after year. I love the way Eugene Peterson, the author of the Message Bible, he says, discipleship is a long walk in the same direction. And we just keep following Jesus and allowing His nature to be reproduced in our character and in our lifestyle. So, Miracle Life, we've departed and we've started. And I'm so glad that we're not on the other side of the Red Sea. And there have been so many things that God has done for this church and in our church and in your life and in our lives. But we're not yet where we're supposed to be. We're not yet at the finish line. And so I invite you to kind of see things through God's eyes. And as we look back and see His hand of faithfulness, to see His provision, and you've heard me say this, but I'm so glad that Pastor Newberry and his wife named the church Miracle. Some put Miracle in there because we've needed a lot of miracles. And we're going to need a whole lot more miracles. And so every now and then somebody says, well, do you want to change the name of the church? I said, well, I don't know. I kind of like the miracle part. Maybe we'll call it Miracle Holy Ghost Temple Powerhouse Center, but got to keep the miracle part in there because we're going to need a few of those. So we are still becoming the church that God has called us to be. We're still teenagers. We're 16 years old. And so from its inception, from all the different critical points in this church's life, God has been with us and He has started with us. And many of your stories I'm aware of where you've come from. And thank God you've come out of Egypt. And thank God you've come out of your past. And you're on your way to a wonderful place in Him. Some of you are aware that when we were at our old location next to Arcades, and we didn't have a lease, and it wasn't big enough, and there was no land in Lusaka, and there was no money in the bank, and what did we do? We just said, Lord, help. We trust You, and we look to You. I was just thinking the other day that when in some of the initial meetings that we had about our location, there was a suggestion that perhaps we could just use that location, 2.5 acres, and build a building, and then we could just ask people to park on the road. And I'm thinking, wow, what road would that be today? And it's interesting to note that our present parking lot is over double the size of our entire plot at the old church. That's kind of crazy. So God was with us and God led and performed miracles and gave wisdom and insight and provision. But here's the thing. None of that happened alone. There were lots of teams. There were lots of people praying and thinking and working together. A lot of hundreds and thousands of people that were sacrificing and giving to help that journey take place. And one of the things that we realized was at our old location, the future of Miracle Life was not at our old location. And as much as some of us would have enjoyed that, and you know, you can go to church and do your shopping at the same time, our future was not there. And it meant we had to move. And that move was uncomfortable. And that move meant sacrifice. And that move meant taking steps into the unknown. And it meant land where there were ites. And occupying and all the different things that we did. But we, when we worked together with God, His plan was accomplished. His plan was accomplished. Now, today, for the future of our church, we have another need. And it's probably not as dramatic as the building because you don't see it. And because at the old building, I had a real easy sell when I told you we needed to move, because about 150 of you were coming to church and sitting outside. And I, you know, I kind of walk around when I preach, and you know, every 10 seconds you would, there's the preacher, and then I'd be gone, and then there he is again. Actually, it was so hot in our old building, people sat outside. That was their first choice seat because it was nice out there. And we had four services and all that, but we realized, okay, that it's obvious that something's got to change. All right. Well, like Moses faced, as he had this mandate and he had this calling, and about 2 million people or so, I need you to go from that place to this place. And he realized real quick, man, if I try to do this alone, I'm dead. I can't do this. All right. And this is something that my wife and I have talked about at great length. We've talked as pastors at our staff meetings, our board, something that when we were doing our strategic planning a few years ago and we're looking out into the future and different things, it was something that became very, very obvious that the church needed. And that is that we need some very key leadership positions at Miracle Life. Now you're saying, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Just go do it. Well, no, we're a team, aren't we? We're a family. And if you're a visitor here today, I hope you can get something out of this, but this is really a family talk. And this is a family gathering of saying, how can we work together and how can we pray together? How can we look to the God together for an issue that's facing our family? Now, turn with me to Acts, the 6th chapter, because I think there's a very clear parallel in that church as in our church. But I'm going to make the argument that our problem is worse than what they have. But thank God we have the same God who gives wisdom and has a solution. So Acts chapter 6, the church is growing. We know that there were 3,000 people that got saved on the first day, and the Bible says that daily people were being added to the church. And so this was a very growing thing. And God was in their midst, and it was awesome. Except, it's awesome when things begin to break down. And that's what happens in a growing church, is that what used to work 5 years ago doesn't work today. Okay? Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So what is happening is the church has an idea, they have a plan, they have something that they believe should take place. Now you can also find what they wanted to take place, what the Bible calls widows indeed, widows that were in trouble, this is something that God wanted to take place. Yet, because of the growth, what God wanted to happen and what the leadership wanted to happen, it was not happening. There was administrative snafus, and now there were complaints, there were grumblings. The 12 apostles summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." So they had a job description. They had a calling, and with that calling came certain gifts. Now, it's interesting to note that it seems that the apostles were better at prayer and preaching than they were about food distribution. They weren't very good at it, even though they were apostles. If they were good at it, it would have been getting done. So they have, well, if I do that, then that means I'm going to have to stop doing this. I don't have enough hours in the day. What do we do? Well, the same thing Moses did. Get more awesome people. So they said, here's what we think we'll do. Therefore, brethren, verse 3, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Notice it's not eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You get to distribute food to the Greek ladies. No, these are awesome. I mean, full of the Holy Ghost, good reputation. Not what's on your CV, but what other people say about you. How many knows there's sometimes those two CVs aren't the same? Mm-hmm. Full of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Our job, what we are commissioned to do, what we're gifted to do, what we're supposed to be doing. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them. So there was a commissioning. Verse 7, then, everybody say then. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So verse 1, we've got a problem. Verse 7, we've got growth. And so Miracle Life right now lives a fair amount in verse 1. We got to do this, but we got to do that. There's so many things that have to get done, and the resources of people, not necessarily the money, but the resources of people and the giftings that need to be attributed to that are limited. Now, what happened in verse 7 was the fact that now Jewish priests were believing in Jesus and that disciples were multiplying again. How many of you realize that that did not happen because Greek widows were now eating? It was that the apostles could get back to their job. They could be in the seat and the position that God had called them and anointed them to be, rather than being bad food distributors. Because not only were they not doing their job, the job that they were now doing, they weren't doing it very well, because there arose a complaint. And so God, throughout his word in the New Testament, he wants people to be in the right place with the right gifting and in the right spots. All right? Now, what's cool in Acts chapter 6 is that we know 2 of the 7, God, while they were being faithful in doing this, Philip, 2 chapters later, Philip went down to Samaria, and the gifting and the anointing of an evangelist now became evident in his life. There was signs and wonders, salvations, great joy in that city. The same people that James and John wanted to bring down fire from, down from heaven, Philip went with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And so the other awesome things is when more people are mobilized, things begin to happen in their lives. And they begin to take steps towards the plan and the purposes of God. And what started as food distribution, an evangelist is born. And we know that Stephen preached an incredible message recorded in Scripture and became the first martyr of the New Testament church. And so, in our church today, we simply, there's a couple spots that are very necessary, and we're going to ask you to pray. We're going to ask you to look to God, all right? You may be able to help us recruit, but we need more leadership and what I would also say management giftings in our church. What happens a lot around the world is many times what people see is someone like myself that's called to be a pastor, God puts giftings and anointings in their life. And my primary gifting is that of a teacher, okay? And so I didn't ask for that. It came to me, and it now is up to me to steward that and to use it, okay? Now, here's the problem. When God anoints all of us, he anoints us with a measure, the Bible says, all right? There's a passage where in Corinthians where it says, are all apostles? Do all do this? Do all do that? The answer is no. So humanly, we are all deficient by design. We are all only called to do certain things. And so as a teacher, I believe there's a pastoral gift on my life. But when God began to give out other gifts like administration, I didn't get in that line. He chose on purpose not to give me that. Now, thankfully, I married somebody who got a big whopper of that gift and of leadership. My God deposited that in my wife. And so, you know, as we were here and we began to use those gifts and there was growth, but the church is now at a size where our giftings are not enough. We don't have enough hours in the day to do what we're supposed to be doing, let alone trying to catch up on a lot of others. And just to give you an idea, because I think for some, you may feel like, well, Miracle Life, I mean, come on, Pastor, how long does it take you to do a sermon? I mean, because, you know, you pray and give a sermon and, you know, I guess everything else just kind of magically happens here, you know? Well, the two positions that we need, and we've seen this over and over in different meetings and praying and board meetings, and again, our people that helped us foresee and look at our strategic plan, is we need an administrator. We need someone who will handle the business side of the church. And Pakuta Mwanza, who is head of EFZ, director, a lot of churches are in trouble because of non-compliance with stuff. People at NAPSA like Miracle Life. This is a very sad statement, but somebody told me somebody at NAPSA says, you're one of the only churches that pays us on time. That's a little bit sad, isn't it? Okay. But just to give you an idea, on the business side of the church, we've got finance. We've got budgeting and revenue and offering collection and banking and procurement. We've got maintenance of our building and of our grounds. We've got housekeeping. We've got two retail operations, our bookshop and our tuck shop. Just so you know, our bookshop does a lot of turnover, and that none of that happens by accident. We've got vehicles that we need to maintain and look after, different building projects around our church, security, human resources, over 50 employees that we need to manage well and look after and be in compliance with. We need to communicate, and we've got websites and Facebook and bulletins and text messages. We've got procurement. We buy proudly Zambian, except when it costs too much, and then we procure from South Africa, from America, from different countries. And so there's a lot that goes into that. We've got a canteen for our employees. All the events that take place at Miracle Life takes a lot of coordination and event management. Our wonderful sound department. So that's just on the business side of the church. How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 staff. So that's a lot to manage, and we've got people doing, and many of the people are doing awesome jobs, but you need people to help you. You need people to give you direction and management and help you to grow. So we need an administrator. The other person that we need, and this is an awesome position that has come into the body of Christ, people have begun to use this in the last 20, 30 years. That is an executive pastor. And that is a pastor that is a lot more organized than I am. A pastor that can get the team from point A to point B. That can devise plans. And my wife is awesome at that. And she is fantastic as far as equipping staff members and equipping the different departments. But it is simply too much to do for one person. And we need to be in our places. And so the ministries that take place at Miracle Life that have staff members and budgets and people are our children's ministry that ministers to 600 kids. And how many of you know that we just don't, your kids don't show up and then we just say, okay, everybody, let's sing a song and pray in tongues. No, there is curriculum development. There is planning. There is so much that happens for today to take place for your kids. We've got weekly youth events that are ministering to young people. We've got merge, singles ministry, funerals, benevolence, worship, people that give their heart to Jesus that we counsel and follow up with. Connection groups, they don't just happen by accident. Our School for Life classes, counseling, weddings, premarital, missions, outreach, our care team people, ushers, greeters, hospitality, parking, info booth. I get tired just thinking about it. I need a vacation. So the fact is, we need people for whom we can appoint this business to. And Miracle Life, we cannot keep overloading certain people or certain gifts. Because what happens is then they don't get to be who God created them to be. And so we've got to allow everybody to do their part. And we need these people on board. When we built this building, we realized that we need someone who knows how to do this. Because how many of you realize you don't get another try at doing this? And it's very sad in certain, I know Uganda, South Africa, certain places where a whole church would just collapse and people would die. All right? And so we were going for more than just collapsing, but we wanted it to be functional and useful and be able to be used for years and years to come. And so we found someone who was very good and had experience at doing that. And he helped us tremendously. Put together a great team that built our building. Well, that was a short term. We've got to build the house of God. And we need some awesome, awesome leaders who can think and plan and coach and mentor and train and help all the leaders of Miracle Life to succeed. We simply cannot use the old system for where we're going. We need a new wineskin. We've got to do things in a different way. And I don't know if you've realized, while you know, good things are happening at Miracle Life, how many realize, in a sense, we're kind of stagnant? Pastor Benjamin and I, we've been putting our mind together for the last couple of years, let's grow connection groups, and we haven't grown them. Why? Because if you're looking for me for wisdom of how that's going to happen, you might as well get water from a rock. But right now, that's where I am. That's my position. But we got to get somebody better than me that's equipped and that's anointed by God to help bring clarity and ideas. How many of you know there can be an architect, but then you need a builder. You need an engineer. And you got to have everybody on the team. And so we need those types of people. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues." And then it goes on in the next few verses, you know, are all apostles, are all prophets? The answer is no. All right. But notice in verse 28, there is a spiritual endowment from heaven called administrations. I don't know what it looks like, but I see it in the Bible. It looks really cool. I'm not an administrator. Okay, where I go, chaos comes. Okay, I create messes. I don't organize things. And now, so my gifting is, but we need folks, more people. And just like while I have a pastoral gift, there are other people here that also have that gifting. And so while I'm so thankful that my wife has an administrative gifting, we need other people that have that level of gifting to bear the load. Amen? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing, everybody say differing, according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And as I look up at that list, I see those gifts in our church. I see those gifts in our staff. But notice there's a gift called he who leads with diligence. Now, God, again, wants there to be someone who can help lead our ministries to the purpose that God wants them to get there. To be a coach and to help work through snafus and why isn't this working? And to help put the right resources and people in place so that God's will be accomplished. God's will be accomplished. Now, and I want you to hear me that the purpose of why we're talking about this, we're going to talk a little bit more about it next week, is for us to get in faith and for us to get and to come together as a church family. And, you know, as I talked about the problem that we had at the old building and that we needed land, what was very interesting was, you know, we put together a committee, we put an ad in the paper, we did official things to look for land. But you know how we found this land? It was a church member who was talking to a relative, and the relative said, I've got some land I want to sell to a church. So all our official stuff, that didn't work. What worked was a member knew the need and said, hey, pastor, see if this will work out. And it did work out. And so we want you to be with us to be aware of the need. Okay, and this is and please, this is not a sympathy sermon, so my wife and I can be happier. We are very happy, happier than we've ever been in our life. But this is about God's heart coming to pass in a local church. This is about His vision and His mandate that has to take place. And so if we are underachieving the mission, then we as a church, we have a problem. But guess what? We have a big God, and we have a God who answers, and we have a God who loves us. And we're going to pray today, and I want you to look at a scripture before we pray, and this is going to be how we pray, is in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 36. It says, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. New Living Translation says their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. Then he said to his disciples, it's very interesting what he says. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. A worker. He didn't even say a pastor. He didn't say a spiritual person. He said, we need workers. And so there was a problem. People were not being adequately taken care of. And Jesus said, let's pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers to meet that need. Notice Jesus didn't even go and solve the need. He said, we've got to get more people. We've got to get laborers. And so right now at Miracle Life, and we'll certainly have other times where we appeal for perhaps more connection group leaders, and we need a whole lot of different places. But right now, we need really two key laborers. And we're asking God for them to be sent, okay? And yes, and we'll maybe let you know next week how you can kind of help with that. We've got job descriptions for that, and you can help us recruit. But really, this is it's a spiritual thing, isn't it? We want God, we're asking Him to recruit on behalf of our church for the right people to be in the right place. And so I believe that all those things that we listed, all the different ministries, all the different things, and as I listed those different ones, I know the areas where, oh, Lord, you need to help that. Oh, gosh, we need help there. I believe there's a day coming, it's not real far away, where as we look at all the different ministries, the outreaches, the things internal in our church, they're all humming like a BMW, like a Mercedes E-Class, just driving down the Autobahn. Amen? And we're accomplishing the will and the purpose of God together. So I'd ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray together. And I'd ask you to, and I know the last couple of weeks we've been praying for the nation, and we've been praying about leadership. And now we want to bring that home to into our church. And I have great faith in God that He has people, just like Moses, Aaron, all the people that are needed to be ready. But God, that You would give us eyes to see. You would help them to see. Father, that we'd be in the right place at the right time. And there may be things inside of You. Maybe You've got somebody, a relative coming from this or there. However God wants to work that out, but simply we'll let Him do His part. But our part is to ask, and to ask for laborers. All right? So can you agree with us today? And when I say us, our staff, our pastors, our board, a lot of time has been looked into this. But we want to look to the Lord. And again, aren't you glad we have Miracle in our church name? And we're going to ask God to do what only He can do, and to send laborers. All right, so I'm gonna lead in prayer, but I really would ask you and encourage you, don't ask you just to listen to me pray, but Acts chapter 4, it says this: the company of believers, they lifted up their voice to God. All right, and so I'd ask you to lift up your voice to God, and let's ask Him together in faith in Jesus' name. All right. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we come to You right now as members, as family members of Miracle Life. Father, I thank You for every man, every woman, every young person, Father. Lord, this is our home. This is our family. And Lord, You've been with us so many times when our family has been in trouble or when our family has not known what to do. And Father, You've led us and You've led with miracles. And so, Father, we come to You again, looking to You. And Father, we thank You for the memorials in our past. We thank You for the places where You've been so good and so faithful and so helpful. And so, God, we look to You again right now. And we take up these words from Jesus in Matthew 9. We ask that You would send to us laborers. Laborers, Father, and specifically two specific ones. Father, an administrator. Father, someone who will be wise and helpful in the business side of our church. Father, that will lead that process and go to higher heights. And Lord, that there would be no division, no wranglings, no problems, Father. But that there would be efficiency, there would be strength, there would be help. Father, that all of those areas would be done at such a level that they need to be done. Father, we thank You for sending us, Lord, someone with that gift called administrations. Administrations. Lord, whom You've gifted, whom You've anointed, whom You've separated for that job and for that task. Father, send a laborer. Send that laborer into your harvest field, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you are. We thank you that you are in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this pastoral gift, an executive pastor. Father, someone who knows how to get the job done. Father, someone who is a builder and a designer. Father, someone that can help mobilize people and processes. Father, for your glory and for your kingdom's extension. Yes, Father. Lord, just as we have builders in our nation that build roads and buildings and houses, Father, we thank you for sending us a builder for the house of God, the people of God. Oh, we thank you, Father, for that person uniquely designed, uniquely gifted, uniquely separated unto you. Father, our faith is in the one who sends laborers, the head of the church, the Lord of the harvest. So, Father, we lift up our voice to you. We lift up our voice to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Church family, I want to we've been kind of talking about this, but this just got prompted in my heart. I think you remember years ago when we got this building, and Zambezi Road was horrible. And it was not a dust road, it was a rocky road. And we had someone encourage us, and we began to just say, I call you paved in Jesus' name. And so instead of complaining about that road, we'd say, I call you paved in Jesus' name. And then we felt, let's just do it for our parking lot. And now we've got over a million bricks out there because we called it paved in Jesus' name. And so here's what I'm asking you to do. Every time you think about Miracle Life, every time you come to church, every time you think about, well, I wish they were more efficient, or I wish we had this ministry, just stop and say, Father, I thank you. We have an administrator in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. We have an executive pastor in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll help, and I'll do it with you. Because I know for me, sometimes I've said more complaints than faith. So I repent before you. And so let's let our words be the same as our prayer. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for our administrator. We thank you for our executive pastor. And then if you want to pray over them or say certain things, we'll just do that. Amen. But friends, I'm telling you, as much as we needed this building to keep going into our future, we need these folks to go into our future. And we will in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just lift up our hands. Let's just thank him. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our administrator in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for our executive pastor in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you are good and you give good. And so, Father, we thank you for the best. We thank you that we don't come behind in any spiritual gift. Father, we thank you. We bless you. And it is happening in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, we talked about a family and we talked about how God's family works and his purposes on the earth. And just as God saw the suffering of his people in Egypt, if you're here today and you're suffering, God sees you, he knows, and he cares about you. If you're here today without Jesus, if you're here today without hope, he's watched every action of frustration. He's watched every problem in your life. And he has come down to deliver you. And he came down in the person of his son. He didn't just come in a burning bush, but he came down in Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ lived among us. And he loved and he helped and he lifted humanity. And he is still loving and helping. And he wants to lift your life from the hurting and the suffering of your sin. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, accept him as your Lord and Savior. He will take you out of the land of hurt, out of the land of frustration, and he'll bring you into his large and good land, his life for you. Jesus said, I came to give you life more abundantly, a life that you've never experienced. He has that life for you. Maybe you are a believer, but you're backslidden. You're away from God. And today it's time to come home. It's time to receive him. It's time to walk back to your Father and to leave the pig's food and to leave the stench. Come home to your Father. He loves you. He cares for you. When you come back to him, he's not going to beat you up. He's going to cleanse you. He's going to restore you. He's going to put a robe on your back. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, or I need to come home to him, wherever you are right now, simply lift up your hand. Lift up your hand and say, I'm ready to leave that place. I'm coming to Jesus. Just lift it up. Wave it at me so we can see you. This is your day. This is your moment of destiny. Ushers, just help me out. Anybody over here? Yes, thank you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Yeah, just have the courage to say, that's me. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? If you lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, I ask you right now just to come and meet me up front. Would you just come and meet me up front? Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming. God bless you, sir. Awesome. Fantastic. Fantastic. Anybody else? Say, man, I need to be up there. I should be up there. God loves you. All right, all right, all right. Awesome. Awesome. Now, this Bible that I have, it's mine. But if I wanted you to have it as a gift, right, you would reach out to receive it. And so the gift that God has for you of new life, of forgiveness, it's free. But we simply receive by faith. And so I'd ask you, just lift up one of your hands. It's just a sign of our faith and looking to him. Pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me. You care for me. You sent Jesus Christ to take my sin. He was punished for me. You raised him from the dead so that I could know you. I give you my heart, my whole life. I leave every wrong thing and I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus. You are my Lord. You're my Savior. I'm in your family. In Jesus' name.